God with me again and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now again, we are continuing with the thought in verse number 11. It is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying, part number 3. Let's pray together. Our Father, help us now tonight. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. I pray that you help me as we've prepared and as you've ministered to my heart. I pray that you'll get across tonight what you've been teaching me. And I pray for your will to be done this evening. May the word of God be given with power, I pray. And may you forgive my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I've mentioned twice before, that the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is trying to encourage his young son in the faith by the name of Timothy. Now, keep in mind that as this book is being written, it is a time of spiritual apostasy. It's a time of spiritual declension. And in the midst of all these untruths and lies, if you will, Paul comes across and says, I've got some faithful sayings for you, Timothy. Some things that you can take to the bank. Some things that are true, that are honest, that are just. And these things are true because we know that they help make up the Word of God. Now the first one of these many things was found in verse number 8. And it's a faithful saying that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Number 2 this morning we looked at it was in verse number 9. That the Word of God is not bound. That's a faithful saying. That even though Paul may be bound, the Word of God cannot be bound. Mankind cannot bring God's Word into bondage. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Then number 3, we looked at it this morning, was found in verse number 10, and that is salvation is in Christ Jesus. Then number 4, we left off with this morning, is found in verse 11. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now we come to the next saying that comes under the heading of it is a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying? Verse 12, here's point number 5 in our message. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Again, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. There's statement number 5 that is a faithful saying. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now keep in mind how the Apostle Paul is giving these words from the Roman prison cell, in which he will be taken to have his head cut off. He was truly one who suffered for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, throughout the New Testament, we can go to different places, not going to do it for time's sake, but throughout the New Testament, we notice all the ways in which Paul suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now he's writing something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to Timothy. And in this, he's writing to Timothy to stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them that those who suffer will also reign with Christ. What an encouragement to Timothy to keep going in the face of opposition and as a true believer. For instance, I'll be honest with you. I don't know exactly what all this means. I'm just going to be honest with you. But it sounds pretty good to me. And what I'm saying to you is this. Someone put it this way. If we share his treatments on earth, we shall share his triumphs in heaven. I do not know what all it means to reign with Christ. But again, it sure sounds good, doesn't it? I'm telling you. And here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, son, I am being afflicted. I am suffering. But let me give you a faithful saying. If we suffer hardship, he's going to let us reign with him. The word of God says this. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. By the way, who's writing this humanly speaking? Who? Paul.
Now, we know the Holy Spirit's inspiring it, but again, this is coming by the Holy Spirit through Paul. He said, for our light affliction is but for a moment. By the way, what kind of afflictions did he go through? And you know what he called them? He said, our light affliction. Boy, that ought to cut us right there. Hallelujah. I mean, he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, the Bible says, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Romans 8, 16 to 18. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The word of God says in Revelation 22:5, and there shall no night there, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know what a true saying is tonight, a faithful saying? If we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. That's a great thought. And let me give you the next thought, verses 12 and 13. And I want you to pray as I read these verses that God will help you understand what he's given me an understanding of. Because I'll be honest, when I first read these next two verses, by the way, you want your pastor to be honest with you, don't you? And I'm telling you, when I first read these two verses, I didn't know what it meant. Because these verses, if they're not understood correctly, can tear you all to pieces. Now notice these verses. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Anybody want to come preach on these verses right here? Here's the next faithful saying. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, let me slow down. This is more of a Bible study here. No doubt all of us is Bible study, but specifically this. Now these next two verses at first glance can be a bit troubling for the genuine child of God. As a matter of fact, they are verses that have the potential of being misunderstood and therefore misapplied. By the way, the Word of God never contradicts itself, which means that if it says something clearly elsewhere, then this cannot be a refutation of that. You understand what I'm saying? We know from elsewhere in Scripture that a child of God is eternally secure in Christ. Amen or not? Amen. Which means that that cannot be what this is teaching. Now, just because we don't quite understand it at first glance, that does not mean, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. No, there's not. There's a contradiction in our understanding. So we start digging. We start studying. We start comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, in the in-depth study of these two verses, and I'll be honest with you, I've spent a lot of time on these two verses, there is a tremendous truth that comes shining through for our understanding and consideration. Now, I want you to ask the Lord to help me get across what these verses are saying so all of us can reach out and say, oh, I get it now. Okay? Here we go. Now, as we look at these verses, they must be considered together. That's the key word. Don't take verse 12 by itself. You have to take verse 12. And by the way, listen to me, folks. Learn to take things in context. A lot of religions are started because they take a verse out of context. Learn to look at the entire context, and to get the full meaning of these verses, you have to consider them both. Now stay with me here. Now let me say here that good people do differ on this. Some people try to say that if we as God's children deny him, he's going to deny us rewards. Well, now, you know, that's really a true statement elsewhere in Scripture. But I don't believe that's what this verse is teaching. Have I got you hooked yet? The meaning seems to be the following explanation. Now, I want you to ask the Lord to help you see this passage. It's important that we keep in mind that the Apostle Paul is speaking in light of persecution and affliction. He says, again, I know I say this a lot, but I'm saying it because it's the Word of God. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking. He says that if one who professes to be a Christian denies, that word deny means to reject, refuse, disavow, renounce. If he does that to the Lord at that time, that the Lord's going to deny him. Now wait a minute. Let me go on. However, to get the full picture, I told you, you have to take the next verse. Notice the opening phrase. If, by the way, it's a continuation. You see what I'm saying? If we, what's the next word? Believe not. Now get this. That word believe is in the present, active, indicative mood. You say, Jody, what's that mean? That means it's current and it never stops. Stay with me here now. It means that it's a matter of fact happening now, whether it's now or 10 years from now, it's still taking place. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, let me paraphrase. In a nutshell, it is being taught that if a person who claims to be saved, they say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but they deny the Lord at any time, including times of hardship. I don't know him. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't even believe in God. You follow me? If they do that and remain in that state, they were never saved. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, here's what he's teaching. If during times of hardship, because that's what he's talking about here, if we deny him and we stay in that state, we are consistently denying him, denying him, denying him, denying him, denying him, denying him. We are proving that we were never genuinely saved. That's what this verse is teaching. Now, by the way, this is a powerful thought. Now, the reason we know it is a persistent state of denial is because we've all denied him. Amen or not? We've all denied him. As a matter of fact, listen, anytime he wants you to do something and you do that, you just denied him. But a child of God cannot stay in that state. He can't remain in it. For instance, we know that this yokes up with the rest of the Word of God because of Peter. Peter was a child of God. And yet during a time of heartache, during a time of tribulation, if you will, during a time of testing, Peter denied the Lord three times. But he did not stay in that state. He eventually came around. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you. What I'm saying to you is this, that if somebody denies the Lord and never comes back, it's not that they were saved and lost it. It's that they're proving that it was only a profession, not a possession. Do you get it? Do you see this? See, Peter confessed and come back. That didn't mean he got saved again. No. He simply showed and proved that he was a genuine child of God. Because even though he temporarily denied the Lord, he couldn't stay in that state. He eventually came back around. Now, what this is, let me say that true Christians can be in a state of denial for different periods of time. The Word of God does not say that if you deny him for a month, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you deny him for 2 years or 10 years, it doesn't say that. It simply says if you deny him And if you believe not, continuous action, present indicative mood, right here. It never stops. It never ceases. It keeps on going. Makes no difference if it's now or 30 years from now. They're still denying the Lord. If that's the case, they were never saved. Now, this is not to scare you. Matter of fact, it ought to give you assurance. Can you get by with sin? If you can, you're not a Christian. But if you can't, and he tears you all to pieces, I'm telling you, you know what that is? That's the blessed Holy Spirit keeping, like they say, you know better than that. You know better than that. See, when you preach the word of God faithfully here, and that's what I'm trying to do, it doesn't spread doubt, it spreads assurance. And I'm telling you tonight that it's time that we say what the word of God says. Those who say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm saved. Sure, I'm saved. But listen to me. They're living like the devil. They deny the Lord. And they never show any kind of remorse for that. And they never change. And they never come back. They are lost. They are lost. That's what the Word of God teaches. And I'm telling you that what... Now listen to me. You're not saved by your life. But your fruits will expose what your root is. Now, don't misunderstand that statement. I'm not saying that you compare your works and say, well, I must be saved. Look at that. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that somebody, oh, I'm a Christian. But they're living like the devil himself. And they don't care. And they don't want anything to do with God. And they don't want anything to do with God's preacher. And they don't want anything to do with a mom and dad or a grandparent or even a parent or a son or a daughter who's trying to help them. And they stay like that. And they don't change, they're lost. And they will die without Christ if they don't get saved, and they'll go to hell. Now, folks, that's not easy to stand up and say that about these verses. But I believe God means business, don't you? It's not something to fool around with. So let me give you advice. If you have somebody that you know who's in a state of denial right now, that doesn't mean they're lost. But if they are just blatant and they never show any sign of coming back, if they die like that, the Word of God is teaching that if they deny Him and they believe not, they are consistently denying Him, consistently, present tense. It never changes, never changes, never changes, never changes. I'm not the judge, but the Word of God says if they deny Him, He'll deny them. Now, hope I'm not scaring somebody tonight. That's not the purpose. Again, I'm saying to you that every one of us every now and then get in a state of denial. You've been there. I'm asking the Lord to really help me deal with these verses in a very, very gentle way. Because God, listen, the devil will try to take the Word of God and pervert it. It's what he did with the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, when I was in Indianapolis on Friday, I made this statement to those teenagers. I said, listen, young people, you might live to be, you know, 30 more years, or you might not live 5 seconds. You just don't know. Found out after the service that a young lady, when I made that statement, got up and she was beginning to bawl, ran outside and said, the preacher said, I'm going to die in 5 seconds. You tell me I'm not going to die. You tell me I'm not going to die. She's dealing with, I'm talking about, you know, an older lady. And the lady said, ma'am, said, listen, that's not what he said. He said, you're not promised another second. She said, you tell me I'm not going to die. It sounds like conviction to me. What about you? You tell me I'm not going to die. She said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But see how the devil will take anything? Now, in my opinion, maybe the Lord took that. I think the devil's trying to make her think I said something I didn't, but the Holy Spirit, I believe, is trying to draw that girl. But don't go home and think I said something that I didn't really say tonight. I'm telling you that if you're a child of God, it will manifest itself. You cannot deny the Lord and stay that way. You can't do it. Because if you deny Him and you stay that way and you don't want to change and it makes no difference what somebody says, you're going your way, that person's lost. They've never been saved. Even if they say, I'm a Christian. God knows the heart. And when God moves in your heart, you may try to put the light under a bushel, but before long it's going to start burning that bushel. And it's going to start stinging. And eventually you're going to come back around. Because that's one of the evidences of being a child of God. Do you understand? Now if you don't, please, I'm here to help. I really am. If I'm confusing anybody, don't go home and try to figure it out. If I've confused somebody, you have a question, something like that, you come see me. Because I want you to understand this. I'm not saying that you go around and say, well, he's lost. Well, he just proved he's not a Christian. And I'm not saying you go back and say, wait a minute, I thought you said you saved. You're denying the Lord. You're going to die without Christ. That's not your place. That's not what these verses are teaching. These verses are simply saying, listen, God has said that if you deny Him and you consistently deny Him and you believe not, present tense, and you never change, you never come back, you are proving that you were never born again. I hope the Lord helped me explain that right, where it doesn't confuse you. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But Jesus said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. John 8, 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye to my disciples indeed. The word of God says, 2 Peter 2, 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. Now listen to this. Also as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You know what that means? That means, folks, listen to me. When he died, he paid the ransom for their soul. But they denied him. They're false teachers. They're false prophets. And he's saying they will have swift destruction. 1 Corinthians 15, 2, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Matthew 7, 21 and 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. By the way, I believe it's the book of 1 John says, the will of God is that every person be saved. And it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus said, then will I profess to them, I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is a sobering truth, isn't it? It's sobering. You know what it does? It causes the easy believism to disappear. Somebody comes and says, oh, I'll tell you what I want. I want my fire escape. I want to come. I just want to get, I'll believe it. Yeah, I'll ask him to forgive my sins, but I'm not going to live for him. I don't want anything to do with it. I just want to make sure I get to go to heaven someday. Hogwash. Hogwash. Now, I'm not preaching lordship salvation. I'm not preaching that, but I do believe this, that when you come and you get saved, it means you knew you were a sinner, you repented of your sin, and you wanted Jesus Christ to save your soul. Amen. And if that's happened to you, you may have temporary denials, but you can't stay that way. That's right. Amen. Amen. By the way, praise God for that. Yes. But if somebody believes not and says, I don't want anything to do with God, I don't believe in God. I'm denying him. I don't. It's all it's just a bunch of junk. I don't believe the book. I don't believe anything else. Were you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Wait a minute. It is possible to deny the Lord. Peter did. But if they never change from that, if they can live on like that and never show remorse, I know I'm going on and on here, but I'm just making sure you're getting it. If they never stop denying, they were never saved. Which means that if you know somebody like that, you're not trying to judge them. But if you're concerned about somebody like that, you better get on your knees. And you better beg God and ask God to manifest himself to them. By the way, how gracious is God when somebody who knows better says, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. As soon as you die, that's it. There's professing Christians who make statements like that. And the Word of God is teaching if they stay that way, that's exactly what they are. They're professing. They're not possessing. They were never saved. May the Lord help you to understand that, grasp it, to where it doesn't get abused and where it doesn't send you off some crevice somewhere. Oh, am I saved? Am I saved? Wait a minute. If you've done what the Bible said to do, you're a Christian. You're born again. Amen. And God will not let you live in denial of him. He won't let you do it. Amen. I hope you get it. Then there's the final statement that's a true saying. It's in the latter part of it's in the latter part of verse number 13. Let me read verse 12 again. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, here it is, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know the final faithful saying that we're looking at in this text is he abideth faithful. You know, keep in mind, though, that this is tagged on here to the latter part of that, what I've just explained to you. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. What is he saying here? Here's what he's saying. He's saying that as we consider these words, that truth that we see is as follows. Now listen to this. If a person who claims to be a Christian proves otherwise by his or her consistent denial of the Lord, their unfaithfulness will not change the faithfulness of God. He will remain true to his word, which says he will judge sinners who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and will condemn them to an everlasting abode in the lake of fire. This particular verse teaches the faithfulness of God in the matter of judging sin. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've tried to use this verse that God is faithful. Just period, he's faithful. And that's true. But in context, what's he faithful in? If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is a powerful thought that tells us that he is faithful not only to provide salvation for his children, but he's faithful to provide judgment of sin. This is a powerful thought. That if one denies the Lord who took our punishment for sin, they will go to the lake of fire forever, just like God said. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And before I conclude this message, I want to make sure you're with me. I want to make sure I'm not misunderstood. I am not preaching that you're saved by your life. I'm not preaching that. But I am preaching this, that if you're saved, your life will show it in some form or fashion. Because a root produces fruit. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, he's the root, and some of that fruit's going to come shining through. But just because somebody maybe you know and love very dearly comes up to you and says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But in their life, they are in a state consistently of denying the Lord. They are consistently in that state. They do not change. And they live on and on and on. Now, again, Christians can go different periods of time. I'm not saying that you get your stopwatch out and say, okay, he's gone past a month, he must be lost. No. But I'm saying that if they deny the Lord and in their life they're consistently in that, they never change. There's no chastisement, all these kind of things. And they're consistently denying him, want nothing to do with him, don't want anything to do with him. That person is proving that they are lost. They were never saved. Not that they hadn't lost it, because we know the Word of God teaches if you get it, you can't lose it. Amen. He's teaching that if they do that, they were never saved. Just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. He must be on the inside. May God help you to understand what I'm preaching. It's not easy trying to explain a verse like that, folks. But when you see it for what it is, if you're truly saved, it shouldn't trouble you. Now, that doesn't mean if you're truly saved and you're troubled right now that you're lost. Don't misunderstand. It says, yeah, the devil can take anything and try to twist it. But I'm saying this, if you're a Christian and you cannot live in a state of denial, amen. Because if a person can, they're lost. And they need to be saved. I hope you get it. Again, my door's wide open. I mean it. You come by and see me anytime, and I'll help you. If you're struggling with that verse or anything else, you come see me. We'll help you any way we can. Amen. It's a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying, Timothy? That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It's a faithful saying, Timothy, what? Paul? That the Word of God is not bound. It's a faithful saying, Timothy. What's a faithful saying, Paul? That salvation is in Christ Jesus, not in the church, not in the ordinances, not in baptism, but in Christ Jesus. It's a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying, Paul? That if we be dead with him, we also gonna live with him. It's a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying, Paul? It's a faithful saying that if we suffer, we're also gonna reign with him. It's a faithful saying. What is? It's a faithful saying, Timothy, that if we deny him and we stay in that state, we're proving that we're not his. And there's coming a day when he'll deny us. It's a faithful saying. What's a faithful saying? Timothy, it's a faithful saying that our God is faithful. And I know you know he's faithful, but in context, let me remind you, Timothy, that he's faithful to judge sin. Now, I don't know about you. That is powerful. That is powerful. The Word of God. Hallelujah. How much power is in this blessed book? And we need to give it out faithfully. And may God add his blessing to this message. And may the devil not spread doubt, but may the Holy Spirit spread assurance among his people. And say, that's why you can't get by with it. Because you're mine. Amen. And yet, may we not sugarcoat something over here that's, I'm a Christian. I don't want anything to do with God. You better check up. Because if you stay in that state, you're proving that you never had it. Amen. I feel like there's a holy quietness come across this auditorium. Because that's a powerful thought.
May God help us to understand it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, help us now. May the will of God be done. Lord, I may have done such a poor job of explaining that. But Lord, I've tried. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll take the words that you've already inspired and that you'll help us to see them for what they are. Help us not to misunderstand them. Help us not to misapply them. And may you help us to understand exactly what you're saying. May you keep the devil out of people's minds, those who are truly your children. Keep him away from them, trying to take something maybe that was said and say, hey, the preacher said this, you better check up. Wait a minute. Lord, help us to understand. We who are saved, we know we're saved. And one way we know we're saved is that we cannot get by with a consistent denial of Jesus Christ. We can't get by with it. Thank you for that. Help us now, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Have you be honest tonight and say, Jody, I'm glad I've not denied it. I'm talking about it in a consistent way. Oh, we've all denied him every now and then. You understand that, don't you? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad that I'm not living in a consistent state of denial. I'm glad I'm truly born again. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I'm a child of God. And he's manifested that to me in my life. And that even when I get away from him, he draws me back to himself. I can't get too far away. I can't stay in a state of denial. If you be honest with the Lord looking at you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Amen. God bless you. If you raise your hand to that, you can put it down. I want you to listen to me just a moment. Don't let this message try to make you doubt. Let this message give you more assurance that you really are a child of God, because you can't live in that state of denial. Amen. May the Lord help you with that. Is there one here tonight you say, Jody, I'm concerned after hearing what you preached. I feel like the Holy Spirit has his finger on something in my life. Now, you may not be denying the Lord right now, but you've just got a concern in your heart that maybe you're lost. You need Jesus Christ. And you want to know for sure that heaven's your home. You may say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not positive I'm a Christian. Is there one like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a Christian and I know it. Based on what you preach tonight, I am concerned about somebody that I love very deeply. It may be a family member. It might be a co-worker. It might be a boss. You say, based on what you preach, I know that we're not to falsely judge. And I know we're not to look at that person and say they're lost. No. But you say, Jody, just judging by what you preach tonight, well, I'm concerned about that person right there. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand and be an honest person? You're concerned about somebody like that? If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? I don't have you look at me. Respond with an uplifted hand, unless there's an overwhelming a lot of people who are responding to that. Do you understand that we're not the judge? You don't look at that person and say you're lost. Only God knows that. And a message like this is so, it's not fragile because it's the Word of God, but in our own minds it's so fragile. You feel if you grasp it too tightly, it's going to break in your hand. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You have to handle it carefully. You know what this ought to do for us? We who are saved ought to rejoice in the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Secondly, we who are saved and know somebody who's in a state of denial, it ought to give us a burden for that person. If they're lost. Notice I say if they're lost. You might be the only person in this world who's interested in them. And it might be one of those things that God wants to use you to give them the gospel. As it possible that somebody who's in the state of denial is truly a saved person? Sure it is. If they come back and they can't get away with it. But if they can get away with it, never change, and consistently spit in God's face, they've never been saved. And it's a time that we get a burden from these people like this. Amen. Are you looking at me here? Look here, please. All of you can look here just a moment. These folks who are in a state of denial, even though we don't know their heart, listen to me. Some of them, maybe many of them, are deceived. They're deceived. And I would much rather approach that person and say, are you really sure you're saved? And by the word of God, show them verses like this and say, based upon that, do you really know God as your Savior? I would rather them be saved and help get assurance in their life than to say, well, I don't want to offend them. You know, they say they're saved. Well, I'm not the judge, so I'll just leave them alone. Because if you leave them alone, are you listening to me? And they're not saved, when they may think they are, Satan's a master deceiver, folks. He deceives people. And if he can get somebody who's not saved to think they are, he's got them. He's got them. That doesn't spread doubt to a child of God. That spreads assurance to the child of God. You know you're saved, not because the devil tells you, but because the Lord told you, and the devil tries to get you to doubt. But the Lord will take somebody's own thoughts, their own minds, and he doesn't spread doubt. He convicts the heart. And he says, you're lost. And I died to save you. Do you see how the devil tries to take things like this and say, oh, you're okay? But if all it was just an empty profession, they didn't mean it. They just did it to get somebody off their back. They did it because somebody else walked the aisle. They wanted to go up with their friend. They did it because, hey, everybody else is doing it. Wait a minute. That's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation comes through Holy Spirit conviction. God takes the word of God and he pricks the person's heart and says, you're lost. You've broken my law. But yet, Jesus died to save you. And you, by faith, ask him to come in. Say, God, the best I know how. I don't want my sin. I want you. Would you forgive me? That's Bible salvation. And if you're saved, you're saved forever. But it's time that we who are saved get a fresh burden for those who are not. Maybe God wants you to come in just a moment and pray for these people. If you raised your hand just a moment about who you had it on your mind and on your heart. Hey, if you don't love them, who will? If you don't take the gospel to them, who will? Wouldn't you love to see that person come to this church if they're in driving distance, walk this aisle and say, I need to be saved? That can happen. And he wants to burden you to do it. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Please don't let the devil try to take it and spread doubt, but may you take it and spread assurance. Help your children, help me to get a fresh burden for those who are denying you. God, help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God has burdened you for somebody, would you leave your place? Would you come? As he sings, come on. If God's burdened you for somebody, come on. If he's burdened you for somebody, come on. I'd like you to stay right where you are just for the moment. When you get done praying, you can look at me, but I'd like for you not to go back to your seat just for a moment. When you understand what this verse is really saying, it's a tremendous truth, isn't it? It's a sobering truth. And again, I'm not saying that that person's lost, this person's saved, that person's lost. I can't do that. But the precious Holy Spirit of God is trying to help these dear people. See, that's what I see in that verse. I see God's grace come shining through in that verse. I see God's mercy come shining through, saying, listen, if you profess to be a Christian, but you're denying the Lord, and you never change, you don't want anything to do with me, he's saying, I'm going to deny you someday. It's time we get a burden for these people. Amen. As Brother Gary sings, if God's speaking to your heart, you can come. As he sings the next verse, you come on. If you're through praying at the altar, you can be seated. My heart rejoices. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not a person that can point back to that day. I was saved on that day and that hour right there. I don't know. I wish I did. I wish somebody had written it down for me. But I know that as a child, I received Christ as my Savior. I just don't remember exactly what day it was. Have you ever liked that? Would you raise your hand? You're like that? Does that help you to hear me say that? I remember one time a preacher come through Bible college and said, if you don't know the day and the hour and the position you was in when you got saved, you're probably lost. Tore me all to pieces. I went by to see old Mr. Kaiser. I said, Brother Kaiser, I said, boy, I'm dealing with that. That bothers me. He made this statement. Boy, I miss Mr. Kaiser. I miss him. Powerful preacher. He's with the Lord. He said, Jody, let me ask you a question. He says, do you know you were born physically? I said, yes, sir. He said, how do you know that? He said, how much do you remember of it? Now, by the way, if you do know the day and the hour and the moment, thank God for that. I'm not bashing that. I wish I did. Praise God if you do. Thank the Lord for that. I just don't. I know I'm a Christian because I've trusted Christ. And he said, how much of that do you remember? Your physical birth. I said, well, I don't remember anything. He said, but you know you were born. I said, yes, sir. He said, how? I said, because of where I am today. I'm here. He said, you mean the evidence? I said, yes, sir. He said, it's the same way spiritually. Praise God if you know the day, but you don't have to. You know how you know you're saved? Not because you point back to that day, because you've trusted Christ and the evidence is in your life. You get that? I just felt like I need to say that because I know how the devil works. He's a rascal. He's going to try to take this message and get you home and tear you all to pieces. And all this message really should do for a child of God is say, praise God, I can't get by with sin. Praise God that when I get away from the Lord, he smacks me back into place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's Bible salvation. But if somebody can go on and 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 on, it's not that they were saved and lost. It's they never had it. And the precious Holy Spirit of God, his grace, his mercy, tells them so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. My, how much God loves us. And may God help us to have a fresh burden to go after the souls of men, realizing that he's faithful He's faithful. And he will judge sin. Amen. I hope you understand it now. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary, I'm going to ask you to come and dismiss us in prayer right here. If you want to say a word about the cantata, you help yourself. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight.
I think you've promoted it very well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that indwells us and helps us to understand the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as believers to have a right view of your word, to understand it. Lord, if there are folks here tonight who are playing the game but are not really your children, Lord, we pray this sermon would trouble them and continue to trouble them till they get saved. Lord, for those of us that are believers here tonight, may your spirit comfort us and give us assurance that this is not our situation, and may we be hungry to tell others about Christ. There are many, many folks who made professions of faith but have no outward fruit. And Lord, may your spirit use us to give them the gospel and to see them come and be saved. Lord, I pray that as a church, you would help us to be soul conscious, that we would go through every day aware that people are all around us who are lost and need to be saved. And as we have this cantata on Saturday and Sunday, may we bring many folks in who are lost, and may they be truly convicted of their need of salvation, that maybe they're religious, but they're not really saved. And may there be people saved through this event, we pray. Bless us this week, Lord. Help us as we go forth to serve you. In Jesus' name.